If you'd like to read with me this morning, a very brief psalm, Psalm 117, two verses. Psalm 117, oh, praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise him, all you people, for his merciful kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. A very simple cry penned by a man who loved God and encourages his people to praise the Lord as a nation. All of you tribes, praise him. And praise him, all of the people, every person. Why should we praise God? For his merciful kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endures forever. And for this, we should praise the Lord. God's enduring truth in our nation. These two truths that we have seen and heard this morning concerning a nation, we must consider it. And that consideration is that God's truth will never fail, but nations rise and they fall. And the only everlasting kingdom that shall ever appear upon this earth is the everlasting kingdom of our God. Our nation is a secular nation, but a secular nation under God. And by secular nation, we simply mean that no one religion is the religion of the nation. Through the prayers and sacrifice of Baptist people, we have the First Amendment, which guarantees our right to worship as we believe the Bible teaches. And as we are led by our conscience, our Constitution forbids an established church, but it guarantees freedom of religion, but it does not guarantee freedom from religion. In the Proverbs, we read of another person who, through divine inspiration, encouraged a nation to exalt itself. What exalts a nation? Proverbs 14:34 reads, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any nation. And that's a verse that worries me. Righteousness is why God has exalted us to our place in the sun. But we need to heed the warning of this last part of that sentence, and that is, sin is a reproach to any nation. It is my judgment that I believe that our sins are greater than our exaltation. I believe with the founding of this nation, we really intended to exalt God and live as free men, as a free people, who, given the freedom that we had, not only by the deliverance of our sins by Almighty God, but by the guarantee that we could indulge ourselves and involve ourselves in doing that which is righteous. I believe that righteousness prevailed in our country for a long time. Not that there weren't serious problems. Not that there were people who did not sin. I do not mean to imply that at all. I'm not looking backward with rose-colored glasses. But I can remember some things in my own personal life that I believe were righteous, and that this righteousness was an exaltation in the mind of God. We know that true righteousness flows from the truth of God, and that we exalt God when we sing of Him and of His blessing. I ask myself the question, can we really sing with sincerity, God bless America? I know we're all familiar with Reverend Wright, who in a sermon that was heard over and over again exclaimed that God should damn America. And that was predicated upon what we did in World War II. That God should not bless America because we bombed Germany so heavily. And that God should not bless America because we used the first atomic bomb to end the war with Japan. But these people never explained that Germany was on the verge of developing the atomic bomb. They already had in the air jet planes. And if they could have continued for another year or 2 years, they would be ruling the world right now. But God in His providence saw that the courage of the American people and our allies and the ingenuity of our people, production of our people, we ended that war. So many have condemned America for dropping the atomic bomb. But Japan had already made contact with Germany, and they were planning, and some scientists had gone to Japan from Germany to help them develop the atomic bomb. No one can rejoice in the death of other human beings. For as the writer has said, ask not for whom the bells tolled, they tolled for thee, based upon the practice of tolling bells when someone died. And so when these men in ancient times heard the bells tolling, they knew that someday the bells would toll for them. Our nation, it seems to me, is losing its way. And I say that with tears in my eyes. And I say it with all of the integrity and honesty of my own heart. That our moral fiber and our moral accumulation, if you may add morals or morality that way, seems to be so very, very low. Our patriots are ridiculed. And the seamy side of our founding fathers is exposed and rejoiced in that they were fallible human beings. I saw this happening when I was in college, and one of the teachers assigned a book on the myths of the founding fathers or something of that absurd title. And they mentioned one fact that they seemed to rejoice in that proved that George Washington was not a man of integrity, because following the establishment of our nation with the adoption of the Constitution, that he sent a bill to Congress for some $50,000, although he had not been paid a cent for 8 years of service, nor for any of his lost property or lost wages or anything of that nature. And they said, see there, he used the war as a greedy human being. People are looking for flaws, such as in Benjamin Franklin, whose moral life was not good. But what else he did was good. I see perversion no longer viewed as a sin, but honored and gloated and boasted about. Programs such as Ellen DeGeneres. Oh, is that degenerate? I'm not sure what her last name is, but she's used in commercials. Honored, exalted, an admitted lesbian. It doesn't embarrass people anymore. They're no longer shamed about it. Marches in our nation's capital by gay and lesbians. And in San Francisco, you would not let your child see what happens in these perverted marches. They're vulgar and obscene. And yet, they're reported as though they have a right to do this, and that we're so happy to have such a wide diversity of human nature, and that we can all live together. I sometimes wonder if our nation isn't divided in this way. That there are people who say and believe the philosophy of give me liberty or give me death, or of the heroic statement, I regret that I have but one life to give for my country, or the flag that flew that red, don't tread on me. I think we have people like that in America today who feel that way genuinely and honestly. But then there's another side of our population that just sort of states their philosophy by saying, why can't we just all get along? Globalism seems to be inevitable. And that is the last step before Antichrist. When globalism is full blown, and the financial situation of the world has to be in crisis, people have to be hungry, people have to be missing all that they once had, all of the material possessions that they look back on as the Israelites look back on Egypt and long for the garlic and leek and onions. But when globalism, when we have one currency, and when governments control business, and with the attempt to make everyone equal, that is paving the way for the man of sin. We seem to be working toward that issue. Socialism has its appeal because it seems to promise security from the womb to the tomb. I was reading an article this week about the state of Arkansas and how many millions of dollars, and I believe the sum was $10 million a year that Arkansas spends on hemophilia, those people who have problems with their blood coagulating. And that there had been $200 million set aside for a common fund to help people who cannot get insurance. They're turned down by the insurance companies because of the health problems that they have. They said they had enough money to run until 2014 for 250 people, 2,500 people, I should say. Now, if there's many more people than 2,500 who need this help, who's going to decide who gets that help? I have personal experience with this in the sense that when I was in India the first time, I had a great outdoor campaign in a little place called Peachy. And they erected bamboo poles and covered them, and they had mats for people to sit down on, cross-legged. That's how they all sit, women on one side, men on the other side. And we did this for a week. And I noticed there was a young man who kept standing on the outside. He never came in under the canopy to worship, but he stood on the outside. And after a couple of nights, I saw the men who were our missionaries, that he was talking to them. And they were shaking their head and getting a little bit heated. And I wondered what was going on. And I asked them, and they said, no, you know, don't worry about it. Don't worry. It's okay. Then he was back the next night. After the meeting was over, I said, why do you not let this young man come in, and why don't you let me talk to him? And they said, Brother Penn, he has tuberculosis. And said, he's dying. And I said, well, why isn't he in the hospital? And they said, well, the physicians looked at his record, looked at his x-rays, looked at his condition, and said he's too sick. It would cost a lot of money. So they denied him any treatment. I know this personally. I can see that young man in my mind right now. Too sick to have help. And I said, what's going to happen? He said, well, he's just a few days away from death, Brother Penn. I never got to talk to him. I don't know what happened to him. Are we going to be a people where somebody is so sick we can't spend money to help them in their dying days? Somebody has to make that kind of judgment. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any nation. Are we a righteous nation? Do we care what happens to us as a nation? Do we care what we leave to our children and our grandchildren? Does it matter to us? Does it matter to us that our armed services that those young men who want to be a part of the Marine Corps or the Air Force or the Army, the Navy, do they have to stop and consider, do I want to be in barracks with men who are admitted homosexuals? Do I want to be exposed to that in those close quarters? That's the choice that's facing our young men and women and the military. I think our country right now is afraid to immediately put that into practice because the re-up may end for many, many of our bravest soldiers and commissioned officers. Why would we do that? Why would we do such a thing? Righteousness's approach is a exaltation, and sin is a reproach. I'm not a prophet in the sense of I know what's going to happen here or happen there. But if we have a pattern, if we have an historical pattern, why would we deny that if we do the things that a nation did in history in the past, and that God allowed that nation to be overthrown, why couldn't we believe that He looks on us the same way? This is Jethro's advice to Moses. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons. True justice. Honest men who serve the public. You know, it's amazing to me that if I make the statement, honest politicians, that outside the congregation of this church, I would have drawn laughter. Honest politician, who knows one? I'm sure there are some. But why do we laugh when we say, we're looking for an honest politician? And what? We all know they're a bunch of crooks. The confidence of America in the political system under which we live is the lowest that we've ever seen it, that we keep statistics and polls on. Is that because our politicians are so righteous that now the public doesn't have confidence in them? Or is it because that we're continually having to wallow in the sins and the covetousness and the lies of our political figures? Isaiah 59. You know, I wonder if we just, these are things we just don't expect. These are the things we just don't believe can happen. Isaiah 59:9, therefore is judgment far from us. Neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgression are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are ever with us, As for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice stands afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yes, truth fails, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. I love this flag. I love the Declaration of Independence. And I love our Constitution. And in the questioning of the latest person who's been nominated for our Supreme Court, in the questioning, she was asked, "What do you think about the Declaration of Independence?" And she said, I have no feelings about that." "What do you mean?" "Well, if I sit on the court, I'll be judging from the viewpoint of the Constitution, not the Declaration of Independence." Isn't it in the preamble that we read of life, liberty, and the pursuit of justice, or whatever, pursuit of happiness? Our founding fathers were so much in debt to the Declaration of Independence that they actually tried to get the Constitution of America to reinforce and to articulate more clearly the Declaration of Independence. I know, according to the Bible, that things have to get bad before Jesus comes. I know that. Perilous times shall come. I know that. I'm well aware of that. But it is a sore travail to live among a rebellious people who rejoice in sin and are not afraid to state their hatred of God. How that vexes my soul. Let's stand and sing.